about tonight's service. I've got two thoughts on my heart, and I'd like to preach both of them tonight. I realize that I can't do that, and I know you're going to laugh at me. But we'll probably not preach over about 20 minutes tonight. The thought, if I deal with one thought, we won't be here much over 15 minutes. And I think the reason being, it's such a sobering thought that it has, I don't want to say it's grieved my heart, but it has brought some sadness to my spirit. And it's not sin in nobody's life. Don't. It's just a thought out of that book, and I've never seen it before until this past week. And it really struck my heart, and it smote me because of our spiritual, I think, indifference toward the Lord. This thing that I really don't think I'm going to deal with it tonight. I'm satisfied I'll have to read the verse and make mention of it, even in the message that I'm bringing, okay? And so, be a praying for tonight's service. It'll probably be a little different kind of preaching, and I need God's help on it, okay? Song of Solomon this morning in chapter number 5, if you would please. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. We're making our way right on through this particular psalm, or song, and the particular chapter. And I want to begin reading, as always, with the first verse of the chapter and read down to our text. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we pause just for a moment this morning to look into the Word of God, I pray that You'll take this text, and God, that You'll open it to us and bless us by it. I pray that You'll stir us, remind us of where we are and where we ought to be. I pray, Lord, that You'll use the gospel this morning to deliver sinners from their sin, from the power of sin and its wages. I ask You this morning, Lord, to revive the church, the people of God. And I know some that are here, Lord, that are concerned about revival. They're praying for revival. They desire to see revival. And Lord, we tarry and wait upon Thee in these days to see a real manifestation of the presence and the power of God that will not only turn us around, but Lord, will reach out into the community around us and affect the hearts and lives of those that are dead in their sin, without Jesus and without hope this day. We do thank You again for the privilege of being here. I need Your help, Lord. I feel somewhat inadequate this morning, and Your presence seems so far away. Now I pray that You'll draw nigh, and God, that You'll give grace and victory in every heart, and we'll thank You for getting glory to Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's look at verse number 3, and I'll try this morning to get done as quickly as I can. And I really don't have the same type of outline that what I normally preach from, like 3 points and sub-points and all that. But look in verse number 3, where the little bride is speaking here. And she's speaking in response to the Lord Jesus and His request to gain entrance into her heart for communion. And she says there, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Now, if God will help me, I want to preach for a little while this morning on excuses. It does seem that we are champions at giving excuses or for giving some reason or having a reason why we ought not to serve the Lord. You know, I think it was the Kingsmen some years ago came out with that song, Excuses. And then they followed that up with another song entitled, More Excuses. Doesn't it seem like that we'll give an excuse to God for not serving Him the way we ought? Or give an excuse for being cold or being indifferent or being complacent, not being exactly where we ought to be for Him? And if that doesn't work, you know, we'll just come up with another excuse. And it seems like there's one excuse right on top of another excuse why we do not serve the Lord. Now, in the verses prior to the text, we find the bride in near and dear communion with her heavenly bridegroom. And friend, that is where we ought to be. I've said this so many times, I want to say it again. We are saved by the grace of God. And that relationship cannot be broken. I'm not an Arminian. I'm not necessarily a Calvinist. But I am a Baptist, and I believe in Bible doctrine. And the Bible doctrine of our relationship with the Lord Jesus stands sure, my friend, that God knows those that belong to Him. And if we're saved, our witness bears witness with Him that we are the children of God. Now, I want to say, as we say, if the Son of God has made us free, then we are free indeed. Now, I don't want to give anybody a false hope today, but I'm here to tell you, my friend, if you're saved, I don't know about if you know that you've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you've got full assurance in your soul that you're God's child, you can face tomorrow whatever the devil might bring your way, whatever the world may develop into. Thank God we're grounded in that book. Our feet is on a solid rock. My friend, we're saved for all time and eternity. And there is not one thing that the devil can do about that. And if we know that and we're assured of that, then we ought to, my friend, remain in a state of dear and near communion with our Lord, forgetting those things which are behind us and not worrying about those things which are before us, and just simply setting our mind and our affections upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray too often we worry about what's ahead of us, and then we're persecuted by the devil from what's behind us, and what's behind and what's ahead, if we're not careful, will deprive us of the fellowship and the communion that the Lord Jesus would desire to have with you and I. But they're in near and dear communion. But suddenly now, after the bridegroom or after they together reach a pinnacle of Christian fellowship, and they had reached that, she was in his banqueting house. They were having a real time in God. They had reached a height. I'm talking about God had set them on the pinnacle of fellowship. But suddenly, the church finds itself on the bed of ease and living there in a sleepy and a sluggish frame of spirit. Somebody said, "Preacher, can you illustrate that?" Oh, yeah. All I have to do is look at last Sunday and look at today. Did I not tell you last Sunday that, my friend, we better beware when God sets us on a pinnacle experience that the next Sunday we may not find ourselves quite there? I'm afraid that's where we are today. Hey, but that's not to say that God's not in our midst of working. Oh, God is always in the midst of the church, and He's accomplishing that which pleases Him. Somebody said, "How do you know that, preacher?" Because He said, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I send it forth to do." And mark her down, friend, when the Word of God is preached under the anointing power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will take that and will accomplish in the hearts of God's people what God wants done. But she finds herself sleepy and sluggish on a bed of ease and relaxation. Now, in verse 2, the Lord recognizing that grace is still being exercised in her heart. For the heart was yet awake. She said, I'm asleep, but my heart is yet awake. Grace is always in exercise. Oh, yes. Now, you need to get a hold of that. Somebody said, preacher, that don't sound very profound. I don't care how it sounds. I'm simply saying that grace, my friend, is a virtue that works, and it is always at work in the heart of the born-again ones, those that have been saved by the grace of God. That grace is working overtime in our hearts, my friend, to conform us to the image of Christ and to bring us into a near and dear relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And her heart is yet awake. And there, knowing that, he desires an entrance once again into the chambers of communion. But the church, look, listen now, don't worry about these kids. The church had slipped into a carnal and secure and lazy frame of spirit. Everybody look right up here at me. I do believe in eternal security. But I'm telling you, neighbor, if we find ourselves too secure, we'll get real relaxed on God. I mean, why should I worry about sin in my life? I once saved, always saved. Why should I worry about the eternal flames of hell? Or why should I concern myself about not going to heaven? After all, I'm saved by the grace of God. Why should I exert myself and try to become more spiritually minded? After all I want is a cabin over yonder in the corner of glory land. I want to tell you something, my friend. I want more than a cabin in the corner of glory land. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And what I'm doing for God, I want to do the very best I can for His honor and for His glory. I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, we'll get too secure. I'm not an Armenian, but I'm going to tell you one thing Armenianism will do. It'll keep you on your God-blessed toes, buddy. Huh? That's right. That is right. Them folks are afraid of losing it. That's why they're diligently at work. But we ought to be diligently at work because we have got it. And because we want to please the Lord Jesus in everything that we say and do. Amen. And there is no place like the bride here to back ourselves into the chamber of sleepiness and lay down on our bed of ease and do nothing in the service of Almighty God. Now don't leave me now. She was contented with just the bare performances of her external duties. Why, preacher, if I come to church and sit on the pew and sing when the church sings, if I put my tithe in the offering plate when it's passed, if I sit down when they sit down and stand up when they stand up, if I come to the church and do a little bit of work and paper the walls or carpet the floors or clean the building, if I just do these external things, is that not enough? She got satisfied with doing that. I'm not so sure that's not where we're at today. We're just satisfied in the external performances, our duty of being a child of God. Why, preacher, I got my hair cut right. What more do you ask? Well, preacher, I've got on the right kind of apparel. What more do you ask? Oh, well, pastor, I throw the television out. What more can you ask for? I'm going to tell you what Jesus is asking for. Exactly what He said in the Sunday school hour. Son, get into the closets of our hearts, underneath the beds of our hearts, and get the cobwebs and the dust out and all the clutter and the mess, amen, that might be hidden in our heart from Almighty God. I wonder what we've got hidden there this morning. Like Brother Bell said, God, somebody went home, opened your closet, what would we find? If God opened your closet door in your heart this morning, what would He find? Have we tucked everything away out of sight, made everything look good on the outside, and we're contented and satisfied with the bare performances of being a Christian, but we're not willing to get up over our bed and go one more step with God in His service? Hallelujah. She was contented with the just the mere performance of external duties, without having her soul affected with or her faith concerned for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder where, hey, I tell you what we need to do. We need to be a generation, friend, that will fear God and eschew evil.
Amen.
You know what I mean to eschew evil? I'm talking about hating it.
Amen.
Anything that is evil or sin,
Amen.
Son, we ought to hate it and shun it. And the only way we'll do that is by drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And her problem was she had got as close to Him as what she wanted to get and was satisfied to lay down on her bed and refuse to answer the doorbell when it rang. See, she didn't want to get up and answer the door. She didn't want to answer the telephone. You ever laid in bed and the phone rang and you say, I just don't really want to know who that is. You ever been in the house and maybe been out working all day and cold and wet and just took a good shower and stretched out on the couch with your pajamas on, picked up your Bible, somebody knocked on the door and your car was in the garage and they didn't really know you was at home. You said, well, I'm warm now and feel good and I don't want to be disturbed. Maybe kind of like that fella that his friend come to him in the night and said, hey, I've got a friend coming to me in my journey. I need some bread to eat. And he said, hey, I'm in the bed and my children are in the bed. You don't expect me to get up out of my bed and get you some bread to eat, do you? That's what the bride was saying. You don't expect me to get out of bed and do something for you, do you, Lord? You don't expect me to exert myself, do you? You don't expect me to go any further with you than what I already have, do you, Lord? Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. She had went as far as she thought she needed to go. Now, stay with me. She, therefore, begins to make excuses why she cannot exert herself and grant Him fellowship as she had done in the past. Oh, yes. Knock on. He said, open unto me, my sister, my spouse, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. She said, hey, I have put off my coat. Buddy, you're done got here too late, Lord. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is never too late for us, friend. He's always right on time. And we ought to count it an honor, even if we're in our bed of ease, if Jesus knocks on our door, to get up and answer it and let Him in. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I've put off my coat. How do you expect me to put it on? Besides that, I've done washed my feet. How do you expect me to defile them after I've already washed them and gotten into bed? In essence, what she's saying is, she begins to make excuses why she ought not to serve God with zeal.
Amen.
Huh? Brother Doug read that in John 2 this morning. Where they said, the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up. Son, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad the Lord had some zeal. He saw that bunch of money changers and selling doves and oxen and sheep in the temple. And son, he went in to purge it. I'm going to tell you why. Because he was zealous for the Lord. I'm here to tell you our problem is today we've lost our zeal for God. We don't have any get up and go about us. No want to about us. No desire about us to serve our God. Excuses, more excuses. I hear them every day. Huh? How do you expect me to get up, Lord? How do you expect me to go that extra mile? Our Lord said, if your brother asks you to go with him a mile, go with him 2 miles.
Yeah,
are you listening this morning? Just do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Do all you can do and then do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church.
Yeah.
Ask not what the Lord can do for you. My God, what more do you want Him to do? He's already shed His blood, gave His life, went to a grave, rose again, and ascended back to the right hand of the Father.
And bless God, these are coming back before long.
Woo-wee!
Hallelujah to God, son. Amen. And so she begins to make excuses. You know, there have been a lot of people in the Bible made excuses. There's a fellow in the Bible by the name of Moses. And in chapter 3 of Exodus, the Lord came and said, Moses, appeared to him in that burning bush. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh that I said to let my people go. And Moses said, Lord, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? See how it begins, my friend, to make excuses. Now, I found out a long time ago, behind every excuse, there's a reason for it. You know what Moses' excuse was? You remember that he had killed an Egyptian while he was down yonder? I want to submit to you that I see a little bit of kindness in Moses' voice. He just, he thought himself to be a coward. Lord, you're asking me to hazard my life and jeopardize my life that I might do something for the glory of God. I tell you, hallelujah, yes, we all ought to be willing to lay our lives down on the line for Him that laid His life down on the line for us.
Amen.
Moses thought himself to be a coward. God said, now listen, Moses, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, see that little shepherd's rod? Pick it up. That shepherd's rod became a rod of power.
Amen.
Then he said, put your hand. Moses said, I'm clean, dirty. God said, put your hand into your bosom and pull it out, and it'll be clean. He sanctified his hand, gave him a shepherd's heart. Then Moses said, Lord, but I'm not a man. I'm slow of speech. God said, did not make your tongue. Have not I made your mind and your tongue and everything about you I've made? Don't give me this excuse that I can't do this and I can't do that for God. For God knew your tongue, in fact, He made it.
Amen.
God knew your frame. He created you the way you are when He created you. He made some of us good looking and some of them ugly. Huh? And some skinny and some fat. Huh? But He made us. That which pleases God, He made us. No, Moses began to say, preacher, Lord, you don't understand my tongue. And the Lord said, He said, I'll tell you what, I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I'm here to tell you, my friend, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There is no reason for excuses in the service of God. I've got to hurry. I know another man that made excuses. There was another man in the Bible by the name of Gideon. Huh? And Israel was under bondage to the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto old Gideon and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And he said, me? I'm a mighty man of valor. And he said, if you're with us, why is all these things happening to us? Preacher, why is things like they are if God's really in our midst?
Amen. Right.
If God's doing what you say He's doing, then why are all these things befalling us? Maybe to wake us up.
Amen.
Here was a man. Gideon was a mighty man of valor and full of courage for God. And didn't even realize what he was. I'm here to tell you, friend, that you do not know what you are on the inside for God. Only God knows what you are. And only God can make you what He wants you to be. Son, I remember when I was a boy going to school, I couldn't even sing Mersey Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey. Our school teacher tried to get me up in front of a class to sing When the Moon Shines Over the Cow Shed. That's right. I'd get up, I'd stand up front, I'd say, and we'd have to stutter it. I'd say, when the moon shines over the cow shed, I'll be waiting at the kitchen door. Oh, little old boy, just bashful and backward and awkward. I've heard that all my life, preacher. I'm too backward. Too awkward. I'm too bashful to get up in front of anybody. I'm afraid I'll embarrass myself. It'll be a great day in your spiritual life when you embarrass the living daylights out of your flesh one time. You might find out what you can do for God if you just embarrass your stinking flesh a time or two. But I don't have to duck my head and sing Mary's a dozy dozy little lambs a diving there when the moon shines over the cow shed either one. Amen. We ain't toughing her out a whole lot this morning, but God knows what He's doing this morning. And it's my business to stand here and preach what He's given me in my heart to tell you today. Old Gideon was a mighty man of valor and didn't even know it. The Lord, Gideon said unto him, He said, if the Lord be with us, what in the world is going on? What's all of His miracles? Where's all His miracles that our fathers told us about? Where's all these good things that we read about? Where's the rivers being dried up and the seas being dried up? Why don't we ever see any manna out of heaven? Honey, I got some real manna last Sunday morning. Some of you's problem, you've never had that meat to eat that you know not of. Hallelujah to God, I got a big juicy T-bone last Sunday morning, praise God. Oh yeah, and I nibbled on the bone all week long. Like a man sucking on a chicken bone, son. My Aunt Alice, that woman eat a chicken leg or a chicken wing, and she'd suck the bone for a week. We ought to be able to suck the bone last Sunday's bone for a week, neighbor. Huh? Have me teach you no not up. And the Lord looked on old Gideon and said, in this thy might thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Notice the excuse. Old Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Boy, he said, I'm just a my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the very least of my father's house. Excuses, more excuses. I hear them every day. I can't sing in the choir. Neither can I testify. Neither can I tell anybody about God. Neither can I do anything in the house of God. Neither can I teach a Sunday school class. Neither can I sing a special. Neither can I do what? What crutch are you leaning on that you can't do something for God? Come on, children. There's some old folks. I'm going to get to the thought in just a minute now. You just bear with me. I find some old folks making excuses. The Lord prepared a supper. And He sent His servant at supper time saying, to them that were bidden, come. For all things are ready. And they, with one consent, begin to make excuse. Well, I can't come, Lord. You don't understand. I've got something else to do. Lord, I can't go work on the building this week. I've got to go fishing, or I have got to go deer hunting. Or, by the way, I've got my own work around my own place to take care of. That first one said, don't you realize I just bought a little piece of ground? Man, I got to go over here and see what God has let me possess and own. I want to prove that piece of ground, friend. I want to go look at it. Now, I'm going to make an application here in a minute. Another one said, now, Lord, I just bought 5 yoke oxen, man. I just bought me a new tractor, and I've got to get out here and plow a little bit in the field today. I realize this is Sunday, but Lord, what you don't understand is if it rains, I can't get in my tobacco crop when I ought to. What if it rains, Lord, and my corn rots in the field? I just bought the tractor to come out here and to harvest it with, and it's Sunday, and you expect me to give up my Sundays to go to church? No, I don't expect you to give up your Sundays to go to church. I expect you to give up Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays.
Amen.
Somebody said you're asking too much. Hello, bride.
Amen.
Got your coat on today or coat got it off?
Amen.
You washed your feet and got in the bed and don't want to get up? Feel a little lazy?
Amen.
7 days a week, son.
Amen.
The Lord walked through a cornfield to the disciples, and they began to pick corn, rub it in his hand, and begin to eat it. And the Pharisees said, "Oh," said, "your disciples transgressed the law." And the Lord, and everybody puts it on the Sabbath. He said, "Is not the Lord of the Sabbath also?"
Amen.
Let me paraphrase that for you. He said, "I've got news for you. I'm not only God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm God on Saturdays too, neighbor.
Amen.
7 days a week for him. He is our God." That's right. And then that third one, boy, that third one said, "Now, preacher, come on now. I've just got myself a little bride. I'm married now." And notice what he said. Hen peck, little egg sucker. He said, "I married a wife, get this, and I cannot come." That's what it says. He didn't say, "Lord, I married a wife and I sure would like to spend time with her." "Lord, I married a wife and I cannot come. Honey won't let me." Some of you fellas may not be henpecked, but you got hen houseways, buckwheat. I wouldn't doubt some of you don't get up every morning, land on the bedpost and crow. Might as well have all the fun we can. Because we're not going to get too loose, I can tell you that. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but now look here, and I'll mention this again in a minute. Every one of those men, in Luke chapter number 14 there, they put their worldly pleasures and their desires above their service to Christ. "Oh, I want the world more than what I want God." And I'm going to tell you what, that little bride was saying, "I've put off my coat, how can I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them?" She's saying, "I want what I want more than what? More than I want God in my life."
Amen.
Now, the excuses. We'll make several applications and we're going to the house. And that's all I've got is applications. "I put off my coat." Now listen. "How shall I put it on?" Her coat represents the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And to put it on not just represents the righteousness that we find in His salvation, but the righteousness that we find in everyday life.
Amen.
And what she's trying to do is put off the righteousness of Christ in her life. Somebody said, "What is the righteousness of Christ?" To be obedient and do that which He calls. Don't leave me now. And to remove the coat, to remove the coat is to rest from the work we've been engaged in. I'm going to tell you something, church. I've had a few radio marathons and I've left over there on Saturday nights a few times and several times on Thursday night and Friday night and walked to the house over here or driven to the house up on Timmons Lane and walked in and sat down and said, "I quit." Huh? But wake up the next morning, the Lord said, "Hey, the work ain't over."
Amen.
He's called on us to occupy till He comes, neighbor. The work ain't over. And when she pulled off that coat and washed her feet, she said, "The day is done. I am finished. I've worked all that I work. I've labored all I labor. And I will not do another thing for God." Are you listening? Now somebody said, "I'd never say that. Not in word, but in actions." Come on back in the house, children. Removing her coat and resting in bed when there is yet work to be done reveals how negligent she is in her duties. Now we're just going to finish the Sunday school lesson and go to the house. But we couldn't do no more this morning. It's too dead in here to do it.
Amen.
Huh? She's gotten negligent in her duties. Now follow me just for a minute. She has went back to her old life.
Amen.
Like the hog wallowing in the mire.
Amen.
She's went back. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, that's God's people don't do that." You remember in the Bible, have you ever read about James and Peter and John's calling? Do you remember what Jesus said to them? "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." But you know where He found them in John chapter number 22? Old Peter said, "I go fishing."
Amen.
And those other disciples said, "Hey, we're going with you, Brother Peter." Oh, if I know anything about the Bible, what they're saying is we used to be fishermen, friend, and it's still down in our blood. The Lord's dead, risen, gone to heaven. We don't have to look Him in the face anymore. And so we'll just go about doing what we want to do in a life of ease because He's gone. Children, got any meat out there? Ain't got none. No wonder we ain't got none. He's told us to be fishers of men, gentlemen. And we're still worried about secular work and carnal work. Amen. And our own welfare rather than the welfare of Christ and others. Well, I'm going fishing. Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." What are you doing out there in a boat, Peter? Who's out in their little boat this morning trying to catch their own little fish? You know, you can talk to some men and they can't talk to you 3 seconds until they're talking about money. Or talking about their job. Or talking about hunting. Or talking about this or what I'm doing and this and that. I'm going to tell you, my friend, that tells me their minds are running in the wrong places. Amen. That's right. Amen to God. And you beware of preachers that get in the pulpit and all they preach about is their old life, how wicked and sinful they was. Amen. And go into pretty much of a detail about it. A lot of them are like that because they'd still like to be back there.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say number 3. She had failed to be watchful for the enemy's invasion. You know in Nehemiah chapter number 4, when old Nehemiah was building that wall, the Bible said, Nehemiah said, "Hey, the whole time me or my servants, neither one, never put off our clothes except for washing of our bodies." And friend, when the bride peeled out of her coat, what she's saying there, "I've quit watching. I'm laying down on my bed and going to sleep. And I'm no longer watching for the enemy. I'm no longer watching for his return. I'm going to sleep. I'm on a bed of ease. Let the world go by and sinners go to hell and Jesus come whenever He wants to come because I'm done."
Amen.
Come on now, Nehemiah said, "Well, hey, don't stand you. Hey, watch.
Amen.
Stand fast. Quit you like men."
Amen.
What? Could you not watch and pray 1 hour?
Amen.
Have you taken your coat off? Could you not watch and pray 1 hour?
Amen.
You're asking too much of me, Lord. Now, don't leave me now. She said, "I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" Referring to the gospel, dealings in her work with the gospel. Jesus said, Paul said in Ephesians, "Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." She just laid aside all her gospel righteousness, all her gospel duties. Now notice these observations and we're going to the house. She had grown weary in well doing. She said, "I shall do no..." You ever get there? Are we there?
Amen.
You ever get tired of the preacher calling you women to prepare food for revival meetings? Do you ever get weary? The preacher asking you to come to radio marathons and support them and pray and labor back there? Do you ever get weary and getting up on at night and getting in your automobile when it's raining outside and the snows are falling? You'd rather be home in the bed or home with your family and coming to the house of God and supporting the church? Sure you do. We all do, buddy. Because we're not a bit different than she was.
Amen.
And they grow. She got weary in well-doing. She said, "I have been out there. I have let you enjoy my fellowship. And I've enjoyed fellowship. But my God, it's time for a break and a rest. I'm here to tell you there is no place to lay our armor down. And there is no place for a break. No R&R in this war, gentlemen. No R&R in this war." Paul said in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Amen.
Are you close to fainting?
Amen.
Notice secondly now. She felt like he had made an unreasonable request. "I've got my coat off. I've washed my feet. And what you're asking me to do is totally unreasonable, Lord."
Amen.
"You expect me..." Of course, here's what she's saying. "If I get up, I'm going to have to put the coat back on. And if I get up, before I get back in this bed, I'm going to have to wash my feet again." And what you're asking of me is just totally unreasonable. I mean, you oughtn't to be such a hard taskmaster. I'm going to tell you something, friend. His yoke is easy.
Amen.
And His burden is very, very light.
Amen.
Are you listening? I hope so. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Now somebody said, I just can't do that. Then, my friend, you've got a real problem.
Amen.
You expect me as a woman to put on a dress? Yes, sir.
Amen.
You asking something unreasonable.
Right.
I went up here and saw a fellow the other day talking to a fellow. I was in there trying to witness to him a little bit and talk to him and give me $25 for the station. And I talked to him, and he said, now, preacher, he said, you're going to disagree with me on this. He said, y'all preach down there that women ought to wear pants. He said, don't you know that women's legs get cold and women do jobs that they requires them to wear pants so nobody can see up their dress tail? I said, sir, if they're a lady and where they ought to be, they'll not be doing anything for anybody to look up their dress tail.
Amen.
Charge you nothing for that. He said, she thought he was being unreasonable. You expect me to wear a dress, preacher?
Amen.
Preacher, do you honestly expect me to quit smoking and get the TV out of the house?
Amen.
Yay! And not only that, but anything else that might be sin in your life.
That's right. Amen.
It's my responsibility, my obligation. I'm going to push you and press you all I can. I love you. It'll deprive you of the blessings of God. It'll deprive you of the riches of His grace.
Amen.
I'll tell you what I told him in Tucson one time, Brother Ricky. I was preaching. And got done preaching as a fellow, one of them Mexican fellows, he's a Mexican. And he said, preacher, you don't think that smoking sends anybody to hell, do you? I said, no, but I tell you, you better be careful with it.
Amen.
He said, why is that? I said, you do believe that God lives inside of you, don't you? He said, oh, the indwelling Spirit. He lives within all of us. I said, be careful. You might choke Him to death.
Amen.
I had a problem getting some air down there, friend.
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that.
Amen.
He said, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And He said, that is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Come on back in the house. She found herself safe and free from troubles, persecutions, and afflictions. She was inside the bed, in the bed, friend, with her coat off, her feet washed, and not being troubled at all by nobody. Get this now. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
Didn't say everybody that's saved. Said all that will live godly will suffer persecution. She didn't like that persecution. Brother Mark just sat in my office this morning and said, this world, he said, man, he said, it's getting terrible. He said, I go out on the job, and he said, they almost treat me like I'm dirt, and like they don't want me around. And I'm going to tell you what, and that is discouraging, Brother Mark, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about it. He said, rejoice! Rejoice! When men speak evil of you and accuse you falsely, rejoice! Because great is your reward in Him. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus and live in the eyes of the public, you might as well prepare to get poked at a little bit in that crowd. They're going to, friend. And if you ain't, you're not living too godly.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
Now listen, she valued worldly interests, pleasures, and profits before the blessings of the grace of Christ.
Amen.
You know, Moses, he esteemed the riches of Christ,
Amen,
the reproaches of Christ, greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I'm afraid that we live in a society, friend, and Brother Brown told me on the phone last night, he said, I preached a message on this, when prosperity kills us.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, I'm not so sure that a whole lot of prosperity ain't just about destroying us. It seems like the more we get, the more we want. And the more we want, the more we lust after.
Right.
And the more we lust after, the more sinful we get, friend. Huh? But old Moses, hey, had all of the riches of Egypt, the treasures of Egypt at his disposal. And he said, I'd rather take up my cross and follow Christ.
Amen.
You can have Egypt. Give me Jesus.
Amen.
She preferred worldly ease to Christ's company. I'd just soon go fishing. I'd just soon sit in the deer stand as read my Bible. Preacher, I'd rather get up and drink my coffee and read the newspaper than I would read the Bible. You asking too much of me, sir. And by the way, when the sun goes down, the knob comes on, and I'd a whole lot rather sit there and watch Beverly Hillbillies than I would read my Bible. Many loves Adobe Gillis as the world pukes. Come on, I love you. Hey, I love you. I'm telling you, that's what she's saying. She preferred the world and its ease to the company of Christ. She said, I like what I'm doing, and if I open the door, what I'm doing's got to go. She said, I like what I'm doing, and if I open the door to you, what I want... To... She sought more on her own things than on the things which were Christ.
Amen.
Now listen to this. She was guilty of great ingratitude. There was the Lord had just had fellowship with her and stood at the door of her chamber presenting Himself as a suffering Savior.
Amen.
That loved her and died in her place. He said, I have been out all night long on your behalf. And she said, you're just asking an unreasonable thing. Can He make... Let me ask you something. Can He make any unreasonable request? No matter what He asks of us, would it be unreasonable? I don't care what it is. He asked us to go to the darkest jungles of Africa as a missionary.
Amen.
He asked us to go pass out tracts on Saturday.
Amen.
He asked us to go stand on the street corner on Sunday afternoons and rip out a few.
Amen.
He asked us to have Friday night or Saturday night prayer meetings.
Amen.
Would He be asking too much? If He stands at the door as the suffering Son of God with His hair and His locks wet from the night's dew where He's been out all night suffering in our behalf. Now listen to it. And she was so ungrateful. Unthankful. Now get this, and I'm going to tell you this is about to drive a nail down, buddy. I want to say lastly in closing with this. She sinned against light. He said, it is, she said, it is the voice of my beloved. That saith, open to me. She knew who it was, and she knew exactly what He wanted, and she refused. Friend, that's when we know what God wants and refuse to do it.
Amen.
Refuse, we bow our neck against the light that God's given us. I'm telling you that it's called sinning against light. And when we sin against light, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the next verse, He persisted and put His hand through the door. And she, when she saw His hand, the Bible said her bowels was moved within her. And she got up to answer the door, but it was too late. He was gone.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's only through mercy that He made Himself known to her again.
Amen.
We better be careful sinning against the light God gives
Amen.
Us. And be careful laying on that bed of ease.
Amen.
We may wake up one of these days and realize that He's gone. He's gone. Excuses. What's your excuse today? What's mine? I'm sure I've made a number of them. We all have.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, it's time we laid aside our excuses.
Amen.
Confessed our sinfulness.
Amen.
And diligently sought the Lord. And if He's knocking, if He wants to do something in this revival, we better open that door,
Amen.
Friend.
Amen.
Because if we fail to open that door, when we decide we want Him then, He may be gone.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I think I've done exactly what God told me to do today. I don't apologize for it.